Amen and amen. How's my volume today? Are you hearing me? Is good? I'm good? All right. Excellent. I want to begin this morning with a public service announcement. If you find yourself at the Oregon coast and there's a marine layer, don't let that dupe you into not putting sunscreen on your face. The scripture says, you know, Moses went in the presence of the Lord and he came out with his glow. That's not what happened to me. I was at the Oregon coast, forgot to put sunscreen on, and so I'm paying the price with some red face today. So anyway, that's your public service announcement for today. And as we continue to walk through the book of Matthew, we want to just remind you that Jesus had gained a huge crowd. A lot of people were coming to Jesus for a lot of different things. Some were coming to him to criticize him. Some were coming to him to be healed. Some were coming to him to learn from him. But they all came, and Jesus began to speak to them. He talked to them about blessed are those who. And then he talked about the fact that if you want to be a kingdom person, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, your righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the ultimate rule keepers, right? But Jesus wasn't saying that, hey, we got to just double down on the rules. He was saying that we have to be people who look deep inside of us and check our motives. You know, we were driving off the beach last night and we were driving at a snail's pace. And we got up, there were two cars in front of us. There was one guy who was going 35 miles an hour, backing up traffic for miles. And I had, you know, worked my way up, so I was behind these two guys, right? And we got to this point where it was slow vehicle turnout. Do you think that guy would turn out? No. And so, you know, I pulled a Mexico. I've driven enough in Mexico to know that, you know, stop signs and no passing zones are just suggestions, right? And so I punched it and I went by him and I said, man, that guy's an idiot. And Joanne, my mother-in-law, who was sitting in the back seat, reminded me what I had preached on a few weeks ago. You call the guy a fool. I said, but Joanne, I have no malice or anger or hate in my heart for this guy. I'm just speaking the truth. So anyway, she got me, and I'm like, man, you got to be careful what you do and say, especially when you're going to preach about it. And so this morning, you know, Jesus said, hey, your righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees, not to be, you know, the ultimate rule keepers, but to guard our hearts, to check our hearts. And then he went on to give us a bunch of examples, like in our sexual life, in our anger, or in our, you know, the words we speak. And today he talks to us about our promises, keeping our promises, making our word be our bond. You know, my parents taught me a lot of things, but one of the things they try to ingrain in my brothers and I, now I'm number two of four, they try to ingrain in us was the importance of telling the truth. I wasn't always good at that, Gene, I'm sorry to say. I don't know what it was. I'm a people pleaser, right? Well, actually, I'm a recovering people pleaser. Yeah, so I still struggle with that sometimes. And so rather, you know, I didn't want to disappoint. I didn't want to stress. I didn't want to do anything. So oftentimes it came out in half-truth, no-truth, some-truth, you know, something to that effect. My brothers hated it. But I remember one time in the seventh grade, I was not doing so good in math. And my teacher gave me a progress report to give to my parents to sign, right? Well, you know, I didn't want to bother them with it. You know, I mean, I was gonna catch up, and you know, life was gonna be good, and I was gonna be all right. And so I went ahead and you know, just signed my dad's name, right? Turned it in. My dad got a call, and see, the problem was, I didn't know how to spell Joseph correctly. So I got caught, and you know, I got in trouble, and so anyway. You know, I mean, come on, we've all stretched the truth, haven't we? We've all told half-truths, no truths. As a matter of fact, there was a book that was written in 1992 by James Patterson. The book's entitled The Day America Told the Truth, and he gives some very interesting statistics about our relationship with the truth. In this, he said 91% of those who were surveyed said they lie on a regular basis. Man. 91% of people who were surveyed. Now, these are followers of Jesus and not so followers of Jesus, but 91% of them said they lie on a regular basis. 86% they lie to our parents. Zach is in that 14%, right, that never lies to his parents. 75% said they lie to their friends. 69% None of us here today say they lie to their spouse. And 50% call in sick at work even though they're not sick. You know, it's interesting because statistics often show that the difference between the behavior of followers of Jesus and non-followers of Jesus is almost indistinguishable. And I wonder why that is. Because Jesus is very clear that we need to, our righteousness again needs to surpass that of the Pharisees. We need to be people who guard our hearts, who make it a priority to be the kind of people who are different than the world. Now, Mom and Dad used to tell us that we are only as good as our word. We're only as good as our word. And so in light of that, Jesus says in Matthew 5, 33 through 37, he says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to your to people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black." Well, you can using dye, but you cannot make one hair on your head white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from whom? The evil one. Wow. And so what did Jesus say about integrity? You know, back in the day of Jesus, the people who Jesus was speaking to, they had made an art form of doing enough to stay within the confines of the law and knowing what they could get away with. You know, for them, any promise that was made using God's name was binding. And so they began to swear by anything that sounded like it might be something that was important, right? Now, we don't ever do that, do we? No, we oftentimes do the same thing, right? As kids, we say, you know, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye, you know, to make our, you know, to make it like, yeah, I'm really telling the truth now, okay? Or, you know, if we you know, are going to say something that we don't want to really be truthful, we just kind of cross our fingers behind our back. And, you know, that's somehow, I don't know why that has some magical power, but then, you know, it nullifies our promises. Or say things like, "I swear on a stack of Bible." Or if you're in the South, you're saying, "If I'm lying, I'm dying." And you say it just like that. Or, "May lightning strike me if I'm not telling the truth." Yeah, exactly. Doc! That's right. And not behind the metal pulpit either. Or, "As God is my witness." You know, we do all kinds of things to kind of flower our words. But Jesus is saying, you know what? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Just in your heart, tell the truth. That's interesting. I told Chris I was going to tell you this, but Chris used to have a habit of saying, you know, when she was really serious about something, can I be honest with you? And, you know, she said that a few times, and then she said that to me one time when I was in a kind of cantankerous mood. I said, "No, please lie to me. I want you to lie to me. Don't tell me the truth, no." And, I love the way the message puts this, because it gives us kind of a little nuance. It says, "And don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in the traditions. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk, saying, 'I'll pray for you,' and never doing it, or saying, 'God be with you,' and not meaning it." It says, "You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes and no. And when you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong." You know, friends, we can do terrible damage to our witness as followers of Christ and the kingdom of God when we are not people of our words. People of our word. People are looking for authenticity. They're looking for integrity. And the question we need to ask ourselves this morning, are we that kind of people? Do people find that in us? How about our coworkers? Can they count on us to be truthful? Can they count on us to be people of our word? How about our spouse or our kids or our golf buddies? You see, the question is, how do I live a life of integrity? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you this morning. The first thing we got to do is we got to keep our promises, even when they seem insignificant. We got to keep our word. We got to tell the truth, even though it might seem like, oh, it's just a little white lie. Friends, there's no such thing. A lie is a lie, period. You see, when we start justifying a little dishonesty because it seems insignificant, be careful, because we're one step closer to doing what we never thought we would do in the first place. Now, seemingly small areas test our integrity. I mean, what are some of the areas that we find ourselves careless at times? You know, again, we call them little white lies, but they're lies nonetheless. Maybe a lie to make somebody feel good. You ever done that? Honey, does this dress make me look fat? Choose your words very close, carefully. Oh, we exaggerate. I mean, who here has not startled yourself by hearing yourself say something that is an exaggeration without even thinking about it? I mean, it's not that we begin the conversation with the intent of saying something that's not quite true, but before we know it, we found ourselves embellishing a story. You know, the fish was this small, but it becomes this big, right? In our story. Or maybe a lie to cover up a mistake. Who hasn't had a child come up to you? You saw them throw something down and break it, and you say, "Why did you do that? I didn't do it." Yeah. Okay. I just saw you do it. Or mislead someone to save face, right? I mean, I've caught myself on occasion. Someone said, "Hey, did you read the latest book by blah, blah, blah?" And I'm like, you know, they say, "Oh, yeah, I read it. Like, I want to, you know, be in. I don't want to, you know." And then they ask me a question about it. Then I'm stuck, right? So we mislead someone to make ourselves look better, to mislead somebody, to make ourselves look good. It's like the preacher who told his congregation, "Next week I'm going to preach about on the sin of lying, and to help you understand my sermon, I want everybody to go home and read Mark 17. And so the following Sunday he comes in before he delivers a sermon and says, "Now, how many people read Mark 17 this week?" And a number of hands shot up, and he said, "Well, there's only 16 chapters in Mark, so we're going to continue by preaching my sermon on lying and telling the truth." Ugh. Friends, even when it seems insignificant, we need to be careful with our words. Because when we begin to find ourselves telling just small untruths, it can start messing with our heart. So we got to keep our promises in areas that may seem insignificant. Second thing we need to do is we need to keep our promises even when we regret making them. You know, maybe you regret making a promise because things didn't turn out the way you'd hoped they would. Or maybe you made a promise hoping you would have more time or more energy or more information or whatever it may be. Chris reminded me the other day that when we moved back up here to Oregon some 5+ years ago, I made a promise to her because, you know, we lived in dusty Central California and I was washing her car all the time. You know, we'd run through the car wash. She said, "The only thing I'm asking you to do is keep my car clean when we move to Oregon." And I got to confess, I haven't done that. I use excuses like, "Hey, it's going to rain tomorrow, so, you know, it's just going to mess the car up anyway. I'm not going to spend $12 on a car wash just to have, you know." But anyway, I haven't always kept that promise. But it was convicting because I made the promise. And maybe I regret that I promised that, but I did. Don't go look at my car today. We just got back from the road trip. Or maybe you made a promise thinking that you'd get something out of it. You know, I'll never forget the heartbreaking story found in the book of Judges about a warrior who made a promise to God and was forced to keep it. In Judges 11:29-31, it says, "God's spirit came upon Jephthah, and he went across Gilead and Manasseh, went through Mizpah and Gilead, and from there approached the Ammonites. Jephthah made a vow to God. He said this, 'If you give me a clear victory over the Ammonites, then I'll give to God whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in one piece from among them. I wonder if, from among the Amorites, I'll offer it up in sacrifice burnt offering. I wonder if he thought that the annoying dog that he hated so much was going to be the first thing to come out of the house. I don't know. But the bottom line is he won the battle and he returned home. And the sad thing that happened was this. It says, Jephthah came home to Mizpah. His daughter ran from the house to welcome him home, dancing to tambourines. She was his only child. He had no sons or daughters except her. And when he realized who it was, he ripped his clothes, saying, "Ah, dearest daughter, I'm dirt. I'm despicable. My heart is torn to shreds. I made a vow to God, and I cannot take it back." Ouch. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, many of us would probably say, "Well, God, I didn't really mean that, right?" But he was true to his vow, and he ended up sacrificing his daughter because of the promise that he had made to God. Friends, if we want to be kingdom people, it requires us to be people of integrity, people of our word, people who keep our word. And so let me just share with you the third thing. We need to monitor our promises. Someone once said, reliability builds credibility. And Deshaun Stokes said, if your actions don't live up to your words, you have nothing to say. We need to be very careful with what we promise, with what we vow, with what we say, because our word is bond. Our reliability builds credibility, not only with our family and our friends, but the world. The world is looking for a church, a body of Christ, who are people of our promises, people of our word, people who can be trusted to say what they mean and mean what they say. Maybe one way you can do that is to keep track of what we promise. I mean, have you ever said to someone, "Hey, I'll pray for you," maybe as you're passing by them because they share with you a prayer concern, and because it sounds like the right thing to do, and then you don't ever follow through on that. I'm guilty of that at times. Or have you ever said to your kid or your grandchild, "After I finish this, I will whatever, play with you or get you some ice cream or whatever it is," and never followed through. Or promised to help somebody and never followed through. You see, maybe one suggestion is to keep an integrity journal. Whenever you make a promise or say something like, "I will," you know, take out your phone and make a note of it and then go back and say, "Okay, what did I promise today? What do I need to fulfill?" Might help, I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, when we, Chris said I say that a lot, so. So the truth of the matter is, when we keep our word, we live with integrity. We don't have to add anything but yes or no. We don't have to say, "I swear." We just need to monitor our heart, monitor the things that we say. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. Where have you failed to keep your word? What damage has that caused to yourself or to others? Where you said you were going to do something and you didn't do it and you damaged your credibility and maybe it was in the name of God or in the name of the church or in the name of service, and it not only damaged your reputation, but it also damaged the reputation of the body of Christ. Another question, where do we need to seek forgiveness for that? "Honey, I'm sorry I'm not keeping your car washed." So let's just take a moment today to reflect. What's Holy Spirit saying to you this morning when it comes to your word, telling the truth? I want to just encourage you to look deep down in your heart and say, "Holy Spirit, where do I need to repent? Where do I need to ask forgiveness? Where do I need to make a change?" Let me give you a moment to think about that. And then the second question is this: what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about what the Holy Spirit has said to you this morning? Maybe it's going to require you to go to someone and ask for forgiveness. Or make good on a promise. Whatever it may be, seek Holy Spirit's guidance. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, at least for me, the words that your words are very convicting. Because it's very easy for us at times to say things that we don't mean, to make promises that we never intended to keep, or to be flip with our statements and our words. And yet, Lord, you remind us in this passage of Scripture that it's important for us to just make our yes be yes and our no be no. Be people of integrity. Don't use flowery statements, flowery words to cover for something that we don't intend to do, but to be people of our word. Lord, I thank you for parents, a mom and dad who instilled in us the importance of being honest, the importance of being men of our words. And so, Lord, I pray that as I continue to walk this journey, that you'll continue to help me. Lord, when I find myself embellishing or when I find myself saying something I don't mean, Lord, bring that to mind so that there's nothing in me that can dull my senses or dull my heart. Father, I pray that for each one of us. That when people look at this body of believers, that they will see people who are persons of their word. That we do nothing to damage our own personal reputation nor the reputation of your kingdom, your body. Help us to be people of integrity, we pray. Lord, as we move throughout our day, as we move throughout our week, help our yes to be yes and our no to be no, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.